Amen. Thank you, Craig and Patty. Great song, great truth, right out of 2 Chronicles 7:14, and the burden is on us. We cannot blame anyone else. We can't blame. We'd like to blame the homosexual crowd. We'd like to blame the abortion crowd. We'd like to blame the liberal crowd. We can point, you know, we want to blame the Muslims, and we can point at all these different people. We love to blame everybody else. But it's on us, totally on us, amen. My people, which are called by my name. And he says, if we do that, and we, you know, it's on us, honestly, for the land to be healed, it's on us. It's not, it's easy to see that from the Word of God, very, very clear that the burden is on us. And, you know, praying is part of it, humbling ourselves is part of it, turning from our wicked ways is part of it. And we need God's hand on us. We really do. And if we're not willing to do that, then we will continue to lose our land. We really will. And we celebrate Memorial Day. It is really initially started right after the Civil War to honor those who died in fighting for their country and fighting for their cause. And initially that was the beginning. How many lives have been lost so that we could meet today? How many lives have been lost so we could have Sunday school this morning, so our children can have vacation Bible school, so we can have Bible stories taught in the nursery and the toddlers, and how many lives were lost so we could have freedom? And it is amazing to think of the many, many numbers of people who gave their lives. And now it's up to us. We're not going to win. This battle for our land is not a battle that's going to be won with flesh and blood. It is a spiritual battle, and the burden is on who God calls my people. And so a great, great song, and really ties in very well with Memorial Day and remembering. That's what a memorial is. Here we have a passage of Scripture about a memorial. That is the title of the message this morning, A Memorial. And we have a great story, and I love the story. I love the story about the parting of the Red Sea, but here we have the parting of the Jordan River. And though it's not as big as the Red Sea, it's a miracle of God and an amazing story. And God did not want the people to forget about it. And so the priests are in the middle as they get to Jordan. By the way, Jordan River was not down. The Bible's clear. Twice, clearly, God says it overflowed its banks. Amen. I mean, you know, the liberals would say, well, you know, it was just a little creek by then. I mean, it was just barely. No. This is a flowing river. It's a deep river, and it's actually deeper than normal because it's overflowing its banks. And as soon as their feet touched the edge of those banks, the priests with the ark, the waters parted, and they backed up, and they literally, they're on dry ground. They get in the midst, and then they stand there while everybody crosses over. And so the Bible says that the command the Lord told Joshua and said, take 12 men, verse 2, out of the people, out of every tribe of man, command ye them, saying, take you hence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones. So again, they can, there's no water there, and they grab 12 stones, each one. And the Bible's very clear in verse 5, it says, take ye up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder. So we're assuming a pretty good sized stone taken out of there, one that would be big enough for fitting on a shoulder. And they take those out of there, and they're going to place those as a pillar, as a memorial on the dry ground. Eventually, the Bible says in Gilgal in verse 20, those 12 stones which they took out of Jordan did Joshua pitch in Gilgal, and they set up a memorial there, a monument, if you will, there. And but then the interesting thing is they took 12 big stones, more 12 other stones, and they put them, verse 9, Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of Jordan in the place where the feet of the priests which bear the Ark of the Covenant stood, and they are there unto this day. And when this was written, that would have been about at least 20 years later. And so anyway, these big stones are placed where the priests stood that held the Ark, and literally, I think they were piled there to build a monument. And again, I don't know how deep the Jordan River was at that point, but it would obviously, if the water was clear enough, if it flowed over the top, which I don't think it did, but everybody would be aware that that pillar, that memorial was there, again, for a reason. God had a purpose for that memorial set up. A purpose, a memorial is a remembrance. And so we have a pillar on the dry ground. We have a pillar in the midst of Jordan, the Jordan River. These stones build up. And obviously there's a reason for that. God doesn't do anything, but what he has a reason for it. And so that's what I want to talk to you about today. Just simply the title is A Memorial. Father, I pray that you will bless the preaching. I pray that you will just speak to our hearts today and challenge us. Certainly, I'm already challenged with the song that we just heard, and you know, all of our music. It's always a challenge to hear songs about the blood of Jesus and about our salvation and heaven, and just what a great God you are. And so I pray you'll use your word now to speak to us in Jesus' name. Amen. I think of monuments. I think of plaques. There are monuments all over the state of Michigan, all kinds of places. Little plaques, little tablets, little things. I'm thinking about a place my wife and I were walking over in Oregon. No, I'm sorry, Washington State, and we walked out, and here was a whale skeleton just on the. But then there's a little plaque there, and there's a reason for all that, and little signs here and there, and just different, all kinds of little memorials to remind somebody something happened here. There something took place, and the monuments, and we have huge monuments. You know, the Washington Monument, the Lincoln Monument, buildings, plaques. Statues are erected, and buildings are built, and each president gets a library, you know, and it's, what's it for? It's a memorial. It's to remember different things that they did, or it could be a battlefield, and something that is set up there to remind people about that. And again, so Memorial Day, again, initially was started to remember somebody died so that you could be free. Somebody gave their life in a battle so you could have the country that you have. And we should never forget that. We should never forget that blood was shed so that we could have freedom in America. We're still the greatest country in all the world. And praise the Lord for those that gave their lives so we could be free. But again, it has become Memorial Day. I think I mentioned this before, that my family always called Memorial Day. They referred to it as, my grandparents called it Decoration Day. And because they would go to the cemetery and they would decorate the grave of their relatives and different people, put some flowers, a wreath, and I know many, many people do that every Memorial Day, and they you know, they just pay attention to that. By the way, the headstone, what's that? It's a memorial. It is information that will help you remember this person that is buried there by that headstone. And so, again, these memorials, they are to remind us. That's what it means, memorial. We have the Lord's Supper. And when we have the Lord's Supper, it's a memorial service. It is a time to remember. Jesus said, "This do in remembrance of me." In other words, the whole reason that we're doing it is to remember the Lord Jesus Christ. And so here we have a memorial set up. We have a memorial set up, one on the dry ground, a pile of stones. I don't think as big as stones. They were shoulder size. The Bible didn't say what the others were, but we have to have an idea, or a thought anyway, that the idea was in the midst of Jordan, that this pillar, if you will, of stones is going to be pretty large to stick up, possibly out of the water, but at least to be there so people, when the water was clearer, they could see that was there, so that the Bible says, so the children would ask their fathers in time to come, they'd say, "What mean ye by these stones? What? Why are these here? What is the purpose of these stones being here, not only on the dry ground, but also here in the midst of the Jordan River?" And so again, the whole idea was to get people thinking about what happened. What is this for? What's the purpose? We Many of you like to go different places. I know a lot of people vacation in that, and you'll want to go see, the house where Abe Lincoln grew up. And, you know, there'll be little plaques in there. If you go to Mackinac Island, you go out there, and there's all kinds of little things to see, and maybe a lighthouse, and there'll be a plaque on there that describes what this did and all that. These are all, again, these are memories. It's a memorial. It is something to help us remember. Now, you know, we're talking about evangelism this month, and we've spent a lot of time. It's a time of evangelism for such a time as this, the theme of 2013, and so the month of May is a time of evangelism. I cannot think of really a better thing to talk about than the memorial of evangelism. Well, what's that? What sort of a pillar do we have erected? What kind of plaque do we have? What sort of monument is there to talk about and cause people to think about souls being saved? What is the memorial? What's the plaque? What's the pile of stones? What, you know what it is? It's us. It's us. We're living memorials. It's us. It's us that, you know, you say, well, preacher, that, you know, that should, people should say, well, what's the meaning of it? Yeah, they should. They should say, what happened to you? They should say, how did you become different? They should say, what's this all about? Every time they see a Christian, when you talk about God and how good he is, you know, we are the memorials that people can see that should cause them to wonder. I've said this many times, and I hope you do this as well. You ought to talk about your salvation all the time. You ought to tell people how you got saved over and over. Best fellowship in the world that you could have with people in the church. It's not about the ball game. It's not about the race. It's not the best thing you can talk about is how'd you get saved? When was it you trusted Christ as your Savior? How did you come to hear the gospel? How did it happen to you? Because it's a memorial to the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did in our lives. I go over it and over it and over it. I don't want to, you know, my mom died of Alzheimer's disease, and it is very possible that I'll get that. But one thing I want to be the last thing that I remember is my salvation. How I was saved. I'll tell you nothing. There can be a lot of bad going on. There can be storms raging all around. But all I have to do is go back to that day. That day when I knelt by my bed and I called upon the Lord Jesus Christ to come into my heart and save me. September of 1975, I was 17 years old. And I trusted Jesus Christ as Savior. My wife gave a testimony just recently about her dad. One that he just couldn't nail down the time that he got saved. Somebody had come in to their church and preached and said, you ought to know the time and the date that you got saved. And it bothered him. He knew he was saved. He just couldn't remember when. And she sat down with him and they went through it all. And they looked at old calendars and different things and went back and nailed down that time. It was like to him, wow, this is like, you know, I mean, I'm so excited. I now have the day. You know, well, he got it down to the week. We think we can get it down to the day. And he wrote that in his Bible. He's so excited about that. You know, why? Because it's a memorial. Because his life is a memorial. His very life is one to tell people, hey, I wasn't always like this. I was lost. And God saved me. And here's the plaque. Here's the monument right here. Here's the result of what God did in my life. I want to give you three things today that I hope would be a challenge to you. Just as the children of Israel talked about, God talked about how, verse 6, this may be a sign among you when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean ye by these stones? All it would take is they're walking by and there's a pile. Hey, why is that pile of stones there? Well, look over there in the river. Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's a pile. What's that all about? That's exactly why it was there. It's exactly why that was there. What is this monument for? I wonder what that little plaque. My wife, we walk so many times, and we'll get in places we've never been, and we were by the ocean, and we're walking, and here's a little plaque, and she wants to read all of them. Me, I don't care. I just want to keep walking. Once I get going, you know, I like to keep moving, amen? But because it's hard to start again. But she wants to read, you know, this happened, that happened. What mean these stones. What's she talking about? You know, what are these people? Why are they in church? What are they doing? You know, hey, we watch you guys. You go to church on Sunday morning, and you go to church on Sunday. What's that all about? What is it? I'll tell you what it is. It's a memorial. God left us behind so that we could tell everyone by our memorial. Here's what it's all about. Number one, a memorial tells what? A memorial tells what? That's what it's all about. It tells what? What happened? A memorial tells what? In verse 7, the Bible says, then ye shall answer them, the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it passed over Jordan, the waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. The waters were backed up. They were cut off. They did not flow at that time. It was dry ground. The waters, they were cut off. Something great happened there. Hey, listen to me. You know, a memorial tells what? I'll be honest with you. There's been nothing greater happen in my life since the day that I asked Jesus Christ to save me. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing to talk about the what that took place in my life. It's wonderful when somebody asks me, hey, what happened to you? Every now and then I get together with the old friends. And, you know, some of them, they always think when you're a teenager and you get saved, they always think, oh, that'll pass. I had relatives that said, he'll get over it. I am so glad today to tell you I didn't get over it. I'm so glad today that it wasn't just an it. It was a change. It was a transformation. It was being born again. Amen. And, a memorial, it tells what? Do you understand? How many of you have been to Pearl Harbor? Anybody? Several have, all right? I don't know of anything, any memorial. And the memorial is built over the USS Arizona that was sunk at Pearl Harbor. There's something about going there and just walking out on that memorial and you just start to cry. My dad was in World War II, but he wasn't there certainly, but there's just something about that memorial. It just, because it tells what happened, the dastardly attack that took place at Pearl Harbor. You know, it just goes beyond reason in our minds how anything so diabolical could take place, and you just walk out. Honestly, I was not prepared for how it would work on me just at a memorial. You know, because that memorial was telling me about an event. It was reminding me about an event that took place. It was telling me about that event that so many lives were lost so that I could be free. Reminding me. A memorial tells what? It tells what? God had memorials in the Bible. He sent a rainbow. Why? To tell us what? To remind of judgment. To remind how God sent a flood to destroy everybody on the face of the earth, except for those in the ark. You know, every time, rainbows are so special to me. I feel so bad that one particular group that is not for God necessarily has kind of captured that as their trademark, because God had it a long time as a memorial for us to remember. God's not going to ever send a flood to the earth again. But it doesn't just remind me that he's not going to do that. It reminds me that he did that. You know, every time I start wanting to shift a little bit toward the God is love group, I have to see a rainbow to remind me, no, God is L-O-V-E. God is a God of judgment. I don't ever want to forget that. Don't want to forget that. Oh, the devil would love us to forget that. Yeah, but every rainbow reminds me of God's judgment, and it reminds me of God's faithfulness. Remember, Noah and his family, they were all fine. Amen. Amen. And you know what? As a child of God, I'm fine. I'm always in his hand. The Passover, good reminder, a memorial telling something, telling what? The Egyptian gods were defeated. The Egyptian gods were embarrassed. Amen? They were embarrassed. You know? What about the God of the sun? God said, I'll just blot it out. Because it's a small g god. You know, what about their god, the god of the river? Oh, I'll turn that into blood. Small g god. You know, all their gods, the flies and the grasshoppers and all, you know, all of them, different little small g gods. God said, I'm going to show them. I'm going to show them. And the Passover, it was a great reminder of God delivering his people from Egypt and doing it by defeating the Egyptians' little g gods. Amen. We have the Lord's Supper and we're reminded the what, the memorial telling us what. What's it tell? Tells us his body was broken, his blood was spilled, his blood was shed so that we could be saved. Amen? God gives us memorials, and throughout, you know, the Jews, they have their feasts, their Passover, their, the feasts of unleavened bread, all the different things. They're, everything, all of it is done to remind the people of something. It tells what? In the Old Testament, many altars were built. Abraham built an altar at Mount Moriah and called it Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide. God provided a substitute for Isaac. Amen? And that altar was built. Why? As a memorial to remind the people, God will provide. He always provides. Jacob at Bethel, you know, an altar was built there. What was that? Well, it was a place of surrender, Jacob surrendering to the Lord. I think of this altar right here and the memorials that are here. If you just will go back, I think about it at Shawnee. I think about it at the camp. I think about it at different conferences. I think about in Bible college. I mean, where we were at the altar and we made decisions that literally changed our lives. And we said we're going to go to the altar and we're going to make that decision. And then that ought to be a memorial to us, and we ought to remember that. Satan's always trying to get you to forget it. He'll always try to get us to forget those decisions. You know, oh, you didn't mean it. Oh, you were just excited at the time. Oh, you know, let me tell you something. Those altars that are built up, those are really, they really mattered. They were real. They were real. Moses at Rephidim built an altar when Aaron and Hur supported his arms. And there was a great victory over the Amalekites. What a story. What an awesome story of the man of God being supported by Aaron and Hur and the victory taking place. And boy, his arms got tired and they, you know, and he just couldn't hold up his arms. And there they come and they hold up his arms. Boy, you know, and God said, I want you to remember that. I want you to remember that it's going to be a team. It's going to take teamwork. It's going to be unity. It's not going to be, you know, one group going this way, another group going that way. The arms are going to get weak. You'll lose. And he said, set up an altar. Remember it. Don't forget. Victory. Victory is yours. If you want it. Victory. And here are 12 stones. Dry land. Miracle of God. The power of God to back up the water. Wow. You know? God's mercies to them tell me that he has mercy for us. Memorials. What about memorials in your life? I give my salvation testimony. I talk about it often. I talk about my call to preach in the back of a bus. God called me to preach. I talk about it. I don't talk about it necessarily all the time just for you to hear. I talk about it a lot of times so I hear it again. Why? Because it reminds me. It just reminds me. The little memorial, I talk about this. I've talked about it for so many years. The time we prayed and we had no food in the cupboards at Bible college, and we prayed and said, God, I pray you'll let us eat today. And there's a knock on the door, and there's a sack of groceries on the doorstep, and just a sack, one sack. Nobody there. I wasn't really worried about where they were. I was worried about what was in it. Amen. And you know, God just being God. And there was a box of Wheaties in there. Now, I'll be honest with you. I didn't know how to memorialize a box of Wheaties. But somebody else, years ago, they heard me say that so many times, they bought a Christmas ornament box of Wheaties And I don't know what it has, all kinds of weird stuff. But there it is, a box. And that, we hang that on the Christmas tree. And every time I see that little thing, it makes me think about that time that God gave us a bag of groceries. And it wasn't all just fruits and vegetables, because he gave me a box of Wheaties. You know, God's just so good. What kind of memorials do you have that your family talks about? What kind of decisions have you made that you talk about? What kind of things has God done? Answers to prayer that God's done. You can readily go back in your mind and you can think about those things that took place. Hey, look at the pile of stones. Daddy, what is that? What's that all about? Dad, why do we have devotions? Hey, Dad, why do we read our Bible? What is it? Why do we sing before we go to bed at night? Hey, Dad, why do we go to church all the time? The neighbors don't go to church. My classmates don't go to church. Why are we going to church all the time, Dad? Hey, what's happened, Dad? Why do you pray, Dad? Hey, if you can't say, son, here's why I pray. Remember last year we prayed and God gave us this? Remember last year we prayed and so-and-so was healed? Remember last year we prayed and God gave us money? Hey, if you don't have anything, then they'll never ask. And they won't know why. A memorial tells what? Number two, a memorial teaches why. It teaches why. You know, the children see that memorial and they say, why? Why? Why would you do that? What mean these stones? Why? You know, verse 22, then you shall let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you until you were passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea. Said, you know, you may not remember the Red Sea. You know, you've heard about that, but this was even more recent. I tell you, folks, we don't have to talk about just the Red Sea. We don't have to talk just about the Jordan. Has God ever dried up the waters for you? Amen. I mean, has he done anything? And if not, why? What can you go back to and say, you know, God did this. God did this. Well, you know, everyone here who's saved can go back to that day that you were saved. Everyone here that's saved can go back and say, you know what? God saved my wretched soul. That's what I go back. I can go back to that, but there ought to be more things, but boy, I'd take that. And then they say, well, why? Because I was lost. Because I was on my way to hell. Because I was wicked and vile, and I had no thought of the things of God. And God saved my soul. Why did God say? God saved me because he loves me. God saved me because he had a plan for me. There's so many things in the memorial of Doug Rogers that I can tell you about as to why. And then there's a lot of things. I don't know why he loved me like he loved me, but he did. I don't know why he loves us, but he does. You know, we're talking about God's power. We're talking about going over Jordan River on dry land. And then miracle after miracle after miracle. Can you imagine the children of Israel explaining the Passover, what God did? Yeah, God turned all the water into blood. Wow. You know, little kids, they love that kind of stuff. Yeah. Oh, you know, God took the firstborn of all the Egyptian families. And wherever the blood was applied, firstborn lived. Wow. Well, Daddy, what's this pile of rocks right here? Why would that be there? Oh, because God dried up the riverbed. He backed up all the water, and all the people passed over the Jordan River on dry ground. Wow. Yeah, because a memorial teaches why. Teaches why. Seriously, some of the little plaques, little monuments, little pillars that you go to, buildings, find out why. Why? Why'd they do? You know, a battle was fought here. This was done here. That was done. So-and-so slept here. Some of you, that'd be your testimony for most of your life. No. But so-and-so ate. No, But you know, these things, the Lord's Supper. I announce it often. I say, folks, we'll be having the Lord's Supper tonight. And this is a great opportunity if you have small children, talk to them. Come on, you remember when your children were real little, and some of your children are real little, and and they're watching you take that little piece of bread, and they're and they're watching, you know, the men serve everybody in there. Come on, you can see the question mark on their forehead, right? What a great opportunity. What a great opportunity to teach them. Why? Why? Aren't you glad you don't have to explain Roman Catholicism? Well, this turns into his very flesh. Are we cannibals, Daddy? No. Aren't you glad you can say, well, this represents the body of Jesus? They took a whip and they beat him so that his flesh was torn, and they took their fists and they punched him so that his body was broken. Oh, that's what this little piece of bread represents, the body of Jesus Christ. And this little cup, your kids, you watch them and they're wow, you know, what is this all about? Well, it's not spooky. It's just like a building. It's just like a plaque. It's just like a headstone in a cemetery. It's an opportunity to teach why. When they ask, why? Why? And when people watch you, and when they see that the economy doesn't have you shook up, they see that the tornado didn't have you shook up. They see that the signs of the times don't have you shook up. And eventually they say, do you know something I don't know? Yeah, you do. You do. I don't know of any better instruction to demonstrate salvation than the memorial of us. Here's what God did for me. Here's what God did in my life. God saved my soul. You know, it's why do we have devotions? Why do we go to church? Why do we go forward and pray? Why do we pray? Why do we give out tracts? Why do we go soul winning? Why do we run buses? Why? Why? Tell them. Because a memorial is there to teach why. Come on. There's bus kids all around here. There sits Brittany right there. You want to explain the bus ministry? Just point to Brittany. Here's Amanda right here. Well, just there's a good example. That's why. Why do we have? What do we do all these days? I mean, those buses, that costs a lot. Yeah, why do we do it? That's why. Right there. Here's a memorial right here. Amen. You know, You can, yeah, I mean, the prison ministry, and I don't like to embarrass anybody, but Brother Korea, come on. Why do we have a prison ministry? Well, there's a good reason right there. I can't come up with a better reason. Amen. Yeah, but week after week after week, we see people saved. Is you know, week after week, prison ministry. Souls are getting saved over and over and over and week after week after week. Is there another Elias Korea out there? But it doesn't matter if it's an Elias. It's a whoever it is. And their soul's getting saved. Praise God. Why? The great memorial. You, me, Christians, us. A memorial tells what? A memorial teaches why. Teaches why. You know, what's the goal? Verse 23, the goal here for this pillar, one on dry ground and one in the midst of the Jordan. Verse 23, it says this, for the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you until you were passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up from before us until we were gone over, that all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that ye might fear the Lord your God forever. Amen. that ye might have a godly fear. Praise the Lord. You know, I want to talk about my salvation because I know where I came from. I want to keep remembering where I came from. I want to keep remembering the pit from whence I was digged. Amen. I want to remember. I don't want to go back to it. I don't want to be around it. I don't want to think about that pit and all that was in it. But I want to remember I came out of one. I want to remember the mud. I want to remember the slime. I want to remember how guilty I felt before I got saved. I want to remember those things. I want to fear God. I want to remember my fear of hell that I had. I want to remember the fear of being left behind that I had. Memorial, it teaches why. Why came we forth out of Egypt? Come on, how could you forget? How could you forget? And yet the children of Israel did. And we do too, don't we? And that's why it's so easy to go back in to Egypt, because we forget. But a memorial teaches why. When's the last time you talked it over with a group of people, with anybody, as to, boy, God saved my filthy soul? Well, preacher, filthy's a little harsh. We've been saved now 20 years. You were filthy. Well, yeah, but you know, come on, and don't forget. Don't forget. Don't forget. A memorial teaches why. Our children, honestly, they need a full picture, don't you think? They need a full picture to make them want what you have. People at work, they need a full picture to make them want what you have. The reason that our land is not healed is because the memorials are covered with weeds. And the world doesn't want it. Because it's not wantable. Because we're pretty much like them. Last thing, a memorial, number one, tells what. A memorial, number two, teaches why. But a memorial, number three, testifies who. Testifies who. What's it all about? According to verse 23 and verse 24, that all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord. Well, what's this pile of rocks here and the pile of rocks? Dad, what's that all about? Oh, it's all about God. It's all about Him. That's what it's all about. Hey, what are you all about? I'm all about Him. I'm all about Him. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. By the way, if the good works aren't happening, then our memorial's covered. It's got a big old cloth over it. Nobody sees it. It's all about Him. A memorial testifies who? Who? You know, that the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty. That the people of the earth, they might, hey, we heard about that. Yeah, we heard. Our spies went out and they saw that big pile of rocks on the dry land, and then they looked and saw a big pile. Oh, and we remembered. How'd you guys do that? How did you do that? What kind of machine did you have to back that water up? How were you able to do that? Because I'll be honest with you, we don't really want to fight you with that machine that you used to dry up. How'd you do it? God? I'll tell you what, our gods, our little g gods, they've never done anything like that. In fact, you know what they do? They just sit on a mantle. They just sit out in the yard. In fact, we have to build a little booth over our little G-gods to keep them dry in the rain. We have to put a little light in the booth to keep them from getting scared at night. Your God did what? You see what I'm saying? Because a memorial testifies who? Hey, what's your life telling the world? What's your life telling your loved ones? What is your life? I'm talking about your life, which is a memorial. What is it telling them about your God? There is no better way to proclaim Christ than the fact I'm alive. I have a mouth, I can talk, I can answer your questions. I mean, you know, the best memorials we've ever gone to are the ones you push a little button and it explains everything. I like those. I don't like reading plaques. Sometimes plaques, you know, they can be hard to read, especially when you have glaucoma-infested eyes. And I like the little, you know, you push a little button, or you have little earphones, and as you walk through, you know, it mysteriously explains whatever you're seeing. You know, I like that. You know, and so we're like that. I mean, we, you know, somebody says, how were you able to turn over a new leaf? You know, oh, it has nothing to do with leaves. It has everything to do with God transformed me. God gave me a new. It's all about Him, because the memorial testifies who. It's all about the statue. Well, who is this guy, you know? And you look at this statue of this guy, and boy, he must have been something. They made a statue of him. And people look at us and they say, wow, you've really come a long way. No. I the only reason I'm even here is because of him. A memorial testifies who? Related to the world through my testimony, your testimony. What are we? Right here, this lady right here, there's proof of what he did. There's proof right there. Right here, Brother Korea, there's proof of what he did. All over this room, there's proof of what he did. Here's proof right here, right here. You know, they're always, the world's always saying, well, you can't prove it. Sure I can. I'll show you each one. What are you talking about? I can't prove it. I can prove it. Right here. Here's proof. Amen. There's proof right there. There's proof. All over. There's proof. 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 All over the room. Here's proof. Amen. And what's it do? It gives glory to God. A memorial testifies who. God wanted memorials set up so people ask questions, but the question should end up, God did it. God did it. God did it. Notice chapter 5 and verse 1, it goes on, it says, it came to pass when all the kings of the Amorites, which were on the side of Jordan westward, all the kings of the Canaanites, which were by the sea, heard that the Lord had dried up the waters of Jordan from before the children of Israel until we were passed over, that their heart melted. Neither was their spirit in them anymore because of the children of Israel. But ultimately, what was it because of? Because of the children of Israel's God. They were scared to death. Your God dried up the Jordan River? And every time they went by, maybe they were in a little boat, you know, going down the Jordan River, and I could just see, you know, the spies in a little boat, and they go by and they say, "Well, watch out! There's a what is that? That's a stack of rocks there. And what's that there for? And there's another one over on the bank there. What's that all about? You haven't heard? No, I've never heard. Oh, let me tell you the story. The children of Israel." Their God is a big G God. He's real. He's real. Isn't that great? Oh, Satan, you need to tremble. Because our God is real. And our God's the big G God. Oh, yeah? Yeah. Yeah. Whoa, what makes him so big? There's why. Here's why. Here's why. Here's why. Here's why. Here's why. There's why. And there's nothing you can do about it. Hey, does your life say that? What kind of memorial are you today? My life is proof that it works. It's proof. Well, you don't always have good times. It's not what it's about. That's not at all what it's about. I'm a new person. I'm going to heaven. I'm going to be there for all eternity. If God can use me while I'm still on this earth, what a blessing. Proof. Proof. How's your life as a memorial? What do people say about your life? What do they say? You are a memorial. What do they say? Do they say, well, how can this be? Why do you do this? What do you tell them? Well, I go to church because I have to. Oh, that's, boy, I hope that's not on your plaque. Huh? You know, teenager, well, my parents make me. That's sad. That's too bad. You know? Well, you know, I've just done it all my life. I'm not really sure. How sad. How sad. We have an opportunity with our lives. The fact we're still alive. And by the way, I use this in funeral services all the time because the memorial tells what? The memorial teaches why, and the memorial testifies who. Let's bow our heads, please. Heads are bowed. Eyes are closed. Please don't look around. Just a couple questions. Number one, is there someone here today who'd say, preacher, I've never been saved. If I died right now, I do not know whether I'd go to heaven. Please pray for me. Raise your hand if that's you. You're not sure you're saved. Not sure of your eternity. Please pray for me. I do not know whether I'm saved. Anyone? Pray for me. I wonder how many Christians would say, preacher, I am saved, but God has spoken to my heart today about something in my life. Please pray for me. Raise your hand. Just slip it up all over. Thank you. God bless you. God bless you. I'll pray for you. Anyone else? Pray for me as a Christian. God speaking to my heart. Thank you. God bless you. Father, please bless now this invitation. I pray we would all gaze at what a memorial we are. Certainly we can all rejoice over our salvation. I hope people will. I pray that we would look, though, at our lives and just wonder if people would ask based on our lives, if our children would question based on our lives, where we could point to the Lord Jesus Christ and our God and give Him glory. Please help us to have lives that are like that, and help us to have a good memorial for You. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. 322 is the song that is being played, Living for Jesus. Are you living for Jesus? As the ladies play, God speak into your heart. You need to come. You have a decision to make. You come. Join these. What kind of memorial is your life? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Living for Jesus. Good song. Are you living for Jesus? Still time to come if you have a decision to make. Others need to come. The invitation's still open. Folks are still here praying. If you have something you want to pray about, you come. Amen. Look up this way, please. All right, ensemble practice at 4:30. I believe that is happening since we sing tonight. I think so. Pretty sure anyway that we will have that. 5 o'clock, all the choirs and prayer times and teens, all 5 o'clock, and then 6 o'clock, the evening service. Hope you'll be back with us, and it'll be a blessing for you. All right. Brother Dale Stewart, you want to come close in prayer for us, please?
Our precious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the moving of the Holy Spirit. We thank you for the message we heard from your servant. We just pray that all of us be the memorial that we should be, that people see Christ in us, bring glory to you and you alone. Be with us now as we go to our homes. Bring us back safely. In Christ's name, amen.